You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
How's it going, Chiefs Kingdom? Welcome to episode 99 of the Great British Chiefs Show with your boys from the Kingdom, representing the Kingdom, myself, Brad Simcox, and Arrow Headlines editor, Tom Childs. Somehow, someway, the Chiefs battled their way through a grueling road playoff schedule to finally reach their fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. How do we grade this level of greatness? We'll obviously try and answer that question and provide our very own unique British analysis on this in this week's show. But first,
MVP Patrick Mahomes against the likely MVP Lamar Jackson. This is the most complete team in the National Football League. This will be Patrick Mahomes' toughest test of his career to get to a Super Bowl. The Ravens are a juggernaut.
Hey, why?
Why? Because we f***ing can. Because we f***ing can. And if we can, we do.
It's already gotten a little chippy is the word, even right down to the kickers. Getting into it a little bit after the Chiefs said, hey, Justin Tucker, get this stuff out of here. And then more than that, a little scrape there with Mollett and some of the Chiefs.
When you plan something well, there's no need to rush.
Here's Kansas City from the 19, throwing at the goal line, and it's caught by Kelce for the touchdown.
The pocket cuts away from Chenault, who's trying to get after him for a second time, but the ball is thrown to the end zone, and it's caught. Flowers with the touchdown. The Ravens strike right back from 30 yards out.
And if we lift our heel off their necks now, they'll just come at us.
Second and goal. It's back to Pacheco. Pacheco drives across for the Chiefs touchdown. Play action, loads it up. Wide open. He's got him. It's Flowers getting past Snead. Down to the 9-yard line.
Tony off his number 4.
Second and 8 from the 9. Jackson to Flowers. He dives. The ball came out. It's recovered by Kansas City. Did the ball come out before he broke the play?
This is a call that could determine the whole game right here.
Snead.
It's out.
When I learned some things, such as you strike when your enemy is weak.
Has now reached the Chiefs 25, second and 10. To the end zone again, and it is intercepted. Intercepted by Deion Bush, who just came in 2 plays ago for Mike Edwards. He gets the protection. He goes long and on his back to ice it is Marquez Valdes-Scantling for the second straight week.
Shout out to Jerry Rice, baby. The Chiefs are still the Chiefs, and believe it, you gotta fight for your right to party!
3, 2, 1, bank.
Tom, I wanted to start the show this week with a quote I found, and it's simply this. Greatness is a lot of small things done well. And it got me thinking. When it comes to sports, people will call a certain player great because they've won a game or a season, or they'll win a major tournament, but they get it wrong. because they expect greatness to come from a single act of an opportune moment. For example, you wouldn't call like Nick Foles great after winning a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP at the right time, would you? It was a great moment in his career and great for the fan base and the city he's obviously represented, but it won't be classed as a true great of the game. However, Joe Namath only won one Super Bowl and is considered a great. Len Dawson is considered a great. Drew Brees, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. You could name a lot of quarterbacks that have only won one Super Bowl but are considered to be a great of the sport. And here's the difference. To be considered a true great, you have to be consistently great. You have to do the small things over and over and over again to build up your legacy of greatness. Patrick Mahomes, at 28 years of age, has already achieved greatness, and he ain't done yet.
Wow. Are you feeling okay?
Mate, I am feeling very powerful and emotional at the minute. Seriously, mate, this is like watching this Ravens game. It was almost like one of those moments where you just think, you just got to sit back and just let history take over and watch the greatness evolve in front of your eyes, didn't it? The whole thing was just, the occasion was one thing, but just how Mahomes, Kelsey, Reed all just overcame everything in this road playoff run. And we haven't even won the Super Bowl yet.
You're acting like this is already one of the best seasons despite the Super Bowl result.
Do you know, it really isn't the best season though. That's the thing that I don't really understand about this. I mean, mixed emotions. It's not been the greatest year of watching a Chiefs Super Bowl run, I suppose. We've had better Super Bowls seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But the playoffs, I mean, this is probably the best playoffs we've ever seen them do. But the season was meh.
Sorry, let me rephrase. Out of all the Super Bowl runs, not winning the Super Bowl, like getting to the Super Bowl, is the first one the only one of the four that's better than this one?
I really don't know. The first one that Mahomes won.
Yeah. So obviously you had that run where we beat the Texans 24-0 down, when we beat the Titans at home. First Super Bowl we've made in 50 years. That one obviously meant so much.
Yeah.
And obviously, the next two, the one where we beat the Bills in the AFC Championship game,
yeah,
and the Browns, that was obviously the Chad Henne one as well. And then obviously last year's one where we beat the Bengals in the AFC Championship game. Do you think this one is more enjoyable as Chiefs fans in terms of runs than those?
Do you know? I don't know. Because
I think the answer is yes, by the way. I think it's comfortably the most enjoyable.
It's difficult because the first one, obviously, you always remember your first, don't you? Right?
No innuendo intended.
Yeah, it is, yeah. You always remember your first. Now, the thing is, the comebacks in that first year of Mahomes winning it, they were great. That was obviously the greatness in what you can do and what you can achieve overcoming deficits in games. Mm-hmm. This playoff run is overcoming your four.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that probably I would say, yeah, that edges it a little bit, because the way he's done it, he did it against Miami, who were obviously touted to be, you know, one of the front runners. He's then gone and against Josh Allen,
mm-hmm.
the another one of the pretenders. And then he's gone against who's effectively going to be the MVP is Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And all of them have been in their house. Well, apart from Miami, obviously, but yeah, but the last two have been in their house, and it's how I'm still in shock. I don't know how the hell the Chiefs are actually in this Super Bowl, because looking at that, the difficultness of that playoff run.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I think has just really springboarded Mahomes, yeah, Kelsey, Reed greatness.
Yeah. Like if this was Halo 3 and you're playing online against him, 12-year-old nerds, you definitely have it on legendary settings as well. Like, this is how hard the playoff run has been for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
The reason why it's been touted as being so hard is because how fucking bad they were during the regular season. Let's be honest. If the Chiefs were true to form to yesteryear, then you would have looked at, oh, okay, fine, they stand a good chance against all of these teams. The reason why we're acting like this and we're so surprised is because no one saw it coming.
No.
No one thought that we, like 3 weeks ago, thought we were going to go on this run and face this gauntlet. There might have been one or two people that said, yes, I am confident the Chiefs are going to make the Super Bowl. And some people might have said it. But whether they actually believed it or not is a different thing. And you'd be perfectly within your rights to not believe it because of how bad they have been this year. It was only, what, 4 or 5 weeks ago that the Raiders embarrassed the Chiefs at home on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And here they are in the Super Bowl about to play in the Raiders stadium. I said it last week and I was wrong. I was very, very wrong with my score prediction last week. I thought the Ravens were going to carry on doing what they have done all year, and that was just blow teams out and score points for fun. For whatever reasons that we don't know, the Ravens decided to not run the ball and just try and make Lamar Jackson pass the ball, which for whatever reason didn't work out for them. Oh, I know why, because he's not as good as Patrick Mahomes. But yeah, never mind. But but yeah, you can't really grumble at anyone that turned around and said, oh, I don't think the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl this year or get into the Super Bowl. And I think that was a perfectly, perfectly reasonable prediction to make 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But what this Super Bowl run has done and what this Super Bowl run means for us as podcasters, it basically makes every single show that we record during the regular season next season absolutely pointless.
Null and void. Completely null and void. Yeah, exactly.
Like, what is the point of following this team or commentating on this team during the regular season? Now I can hear Pete in the back of my head now going, Tom, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like,
you're just nuking the whole network, mate. What are you doing?
Unless you're just listening to us for just pure entertainment purposes, which you would do, because that's why you listen to the Great British Cheese Show. You don't listen to us for actual analysis anyway. But yeah, unless that's what you're going with, then that's fine. But next year, does it really matter if the Chiefs play well during the regular season? I think this particular team has proven that it doesn't matter what this team does in the regular season because they have an on-off switch, like all the great teams have always done. Man City done it last year, done it to my beloved Arsenal last year.
John Spartan, you are fined one credit for a violation of the verbal.
And they've done it to a few teams of late. They trundle through the start of the season, get through to like February, and then they just go on a run. And they win like 10, 11, 12 games in a row. And they go from 8 points behind to 8 points in front in no time at all because they're just relentless and they can switch it on just like that. The Kobe Bryant teams of the Lakers, they used to do it. The Michael Jordan teams used to do it. Tom Brady used to do it. There's Usain Bolt doesn't run his fastest in the semifinals, does he? He just gets there. And then
that's a hell of an analogy. That's a really good, because when you see him in the heats, he's just jogging.
Yeah, because he does enough.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what this Chiefs team did.
All I need to do is qualify. That's all Usain Bolt does. I just need to qualify for the final. And he gets the final and goes, you guys. That's what the greats do. And that's what this Chiefs team do. Like, they are absolutely a dynasty now. 100% a dynasty, whether they win this Super Bowl or not. Some people say they need to win 3 to become a true dynasty. I don't think so. Because I think what this season has proved that this team are always going to be there or thereabouts. Like, there is no way in hell, like, I'm going to make a really bold prediction here that this is the last Super Bowl that this team make. It's just impossible. That's not going to happen. Andy Reid's not going anywhere. Travis Kelce's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes certainly isn't going anywhere. Yeah. And despite what the AFC do, and they have, like, the AFC this year has been phenomenal across the board. Like, with some of the efforts from their top teams, from the Ravens, from the Bills, from the Dolphins, Texans up and coming team. But yet their best is no way near good enough. No way near good enough. Because the Chiefs can just get into the playoffs and say, right, this is it now. Let's turn it on. And I mean, it's great for us. It's phenomenal for us. I actually sat and watched the game with a Ravens fan. One of my good friends that Brad knows, Spencer, he came to Miami with us for the Super Bowl.
Shout out, Fiddy.
But he was just so, like, I felt sorry for him.
No, you didn't. It doesn't mean
I wanted to trade places with him. I just felt sorry for him a little bit. Because he's my
friend.
You didn't,
because you were too busy jumping around the room going, Mahomes is great.
No, I was a guest in his house. So I was a really, really good winner. I was very humble. It probably annoyed him more because I was so humble.
Yeah.
But yeah, I felt sorry for him because obviously the Ravens have been phenomenal all season, and they have been. Like DVOA, they've been one of the best teams of all time, apparently. DVOA doesn't count in the playoffs, but you know what I mean? They've been a very, very good team. But for him, just to watch his team just get Mahomes'd, because it is Mahomes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I know you can talk about the defense and everything, but, and the defense were phenomenal, and they are, let's be fair, at least 50, 60% of the reason why we've made it to this game. But what the Chiefs done early, and what we said they needed to do early when we were talking previewing this game last week, was score points early. Mm. And they did. They got a couple of touchdowns, and that kind of put pressure on the Ravens offense to try and fight fire with fire. And their way of doing it was by trying to pass the ball, because they knew they needed to keep up with Patrick Mahomes. And that's where the greatness of Mahomes come through, was, right, what do we need to do as a whole team in terms of a game plan to make this game winnable? Score early, be solid early, and then sharp shop and not turn the ball over in the second half.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the Chiefs done.
That was exactly the plan. I mean, right from the first drive of the game, that actually set the tone. And I know that was obviously the defense actually doing that. But the Ravens going three and out in that first drive, after the Chiefs had won the toss, I thought, do you know what? This has set the tone now, because this means that if we get something out of this, even if we get 3 points out of this drive,
yep,
the pressure's already on the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. And I mentioned it in the previous show, and I said, I was questioning Lamar Jackson's ability to handle the high-pressure game like this. There was a lot riding on it. It was in his own house, and a lot of people were expecting him, because he is going to be the MVP. Let's be honest. He's going to be the MVP of the season, because he's been absolutely phenomenal. So I was questioning whether he could handle that pressure. That changed the game right at the beginning, where the Chiefs went straight down the field, scored a touchdown. That changed the whole plan of what the Ravens were trying to do, because instantly they knew that they didn't want to eat the clock. They wanted to start passing it around a little bit more as well. I mean, the rushing game was, I mean, they didn't, I think they used Gus Edwards once.
Six rushing attempts between him and Justice Hill. Six.
I mean, that just completely throws away your whole game plan. And yeah, and what you've been used to a whole season at this point is you're expected to be a rushing team.
Yeah.
Suddenly, they are this team that are totally out of the depth. They don't know where they are, how they're handling any of this pressure. And the Chiefs just seem to be in control, literally, from that first three and out.
Yeah. And they stayed in control the whole game.
Right the way through.
Yeah. I thought the Chiefs defense done an excellent job on Lamar. The pressure that they did get, it did seem to affect him. Mm. He seemed hesitant, I felt, on Sunday.
Yeah.
He didn't, he, like, normally you see Lamar and you think, right, he has an internal clock and he knows when to go. And right, this is when I've got to scramble. But it seemed like he didn't want to scramble. It really felt like he wanted to try and beat the Chiefs as a pocket passer. But that's fine if you're not throwing to receivers that are covered by LeJarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie. That's fine. But the Chiefs passing defense has been phenomenal all year. So I don't see why they stuck with the passing game so much. I think he had 37, was it 4 yard attempts passing the ball? And like, what was it, 11, 12 rushing attempts in total? Like, that's ludicrous if you're the Ravens. Like, that should have been flipped the other way. They should have been rushing the ball 35, 40 times and then passing the ball 12 to 20 times. But for whatever reason, this Chiefs team, despite it being an obvious weakness, well, I don't say obvious, a weakness of this defense, the most, like, obvious weakness of this defense, I should say, teams still do not run the football on the Chiefs.
No.
And when they do run the football, for whatever reason, they always abandon it. And that has to come down to the quarterback on the other side.
Has to.
It has to. There is no reason why teams should abandon the run as easily as they do. It has to come down to, right, I need to match what that guy on the other side's doing.
Yeah.
And I just don't get that. Like, play your own game. What, Ravens, what have you been good at this year? Running the football. Stick to that. But no, they get caught up in these moments. They play this Chiefs team and they think, right, we just need to emulate this team. Oh, they seem good. Let's copy what they're doing. Well, no, you can't copy what we're doing.
Do what you do. Chiefs,
Like, I just don't understand why teams... Like, the Bills were guilty of it. They were rushing the ball fine against us.
Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is?
And they start passing.
It's psychological warfare. Now,
yeah, I think it is.
I think that's what it is. I think there's a psychological thing going on in these quarterbacks' minds that they've got to go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes and air it out. They've got to have a proper shootout.
A shootout, right, is a f***ing shootout. Like a whisk.
You know, proper, you know, toe-to-toe, I can do what you do. No, you do what you do because you are unique at it. Lamar Jackson is unique in the way that he plays.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is unique in the way that he plays. Do what you do best. Don't try and challenge yourself of thinking, well, I can throw for 300 odd yards or whatever it is. I can throw for 5 touchdowns. You know, I can lead a team like Patrick Mahomes does. It doesn't work. You have to lead the team how you lead the team for the rest of the season, how you've gone through the playoffs. And Lamar Jackson didn't do that. But going on that psychological warfare thing, the ego that we've seen from Bills players in the previous game and Ravens players. I mean, this Ravens thing, right at the beginning, right from the actual kickoff, you know, with Tucker and everything like that, you know, with the whole thing of warm-ups and things. That was something that the Ravens were trying to get into the Chiefs players' heads.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are ice cold. Mm-hmm. They're not bothered what you're doing. I mean, yeah, okay, they have a bit of a tit for tat and stuff like that, but you think that you're getting in their heads.
Yeah.
When in actual fact, they're already in your head because you've been doing all of this swag surfing and touchdowns and stuff, you know, to try and like toll over the fact that Taylor Swift was doing it in a couple of weeks ago, you know. The Chiefs are already in your head. And these teams cannot get over that hump because of the psychological warfare that's gone on. And the Chiefs haven't done anything to do that. They've just been the Chiefs.
Yeah.
They've just been great. And you're having these Bills and these Ravens who were thinking, we've got to raise our game. We've got to get in the heads. We've got to really kind of wind them up. We've got to, you know, we've got to make sure that we show that we are the best, or we can prove that we are the best. When in actual fact, you just have to play the best and be the best.
Do you think there's something to be said that they're too busy trying to beat the Chiefs and actually winning the Super Bowl?
Yeah. I think they actually think that that is their Super Bowl.
Yeah. And not
because that's the standard. Because if you think about it now, right, what we witnessed against Baltimore, the entire and even the entire playoff run, is Patrick Mahomes has added to his greatness, his level of greatness. Mm-hmm. So we now have to put Mahomes on like a same pedestal as like Joe Montana, Tom Brady. That's pretty much it. Because trying to compare Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson to Patrick Mahomes, at this moment in time, it's just downright offensive because they are not that level of player yet. They're good players. Don't get me wrong. They are good players.
Mm.
But how many times we've seen good players or potential great players who should be winning Super Bowls, they should be winning titles, not do it because they've been trying to chase that ghost. They've been trying to chase that great player who is the greatest player of their era right now, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. They're trying to catch that and emulate them rather than actually just being who they are.
Yeah. I wonder if the 49ers, I don't want to go into a preview because obviously the 49ers, they got caught out when we last played them by abandoning the run in the fourth quarter. I wonder
exactly.
They're thinking about, like, I'm sure if the Ravens could have that game back last week, I'm sure they would. They could call a very, very different game.
Yeah.
So I think there's something to be said in the psychological part of it. You look to like the great Alex Ferguson teams, even the great Arsene Wenger teams. Mm. They always said that those games were won in the tunnel before. Like teams used to line up next to them on the walkout and they'd have a look at like Patrick Vieira or Roy Keane or Ruud van Nistelrooy and like Thierry Henry, and they'd be like, oh, we're done. we're done.
It's a good point because I mean, I always remember when Newcastle United, my team, back in the day, we're chasing their first ever Premier League title. They were well in the lead, 12 points in the lead. Man United caught them up, beat them, and won the actual league. The following season, Newcastle, because they had it in their heads, they would have to beat this team. We have to beat this Man United team to get this kind of monkey off our backs. They went out and beat Man United 5-0. Were Man United bothered? No. They weren't bothered because they actually won the title the previous year before. And that's what I'm saying about this psychological thing. The Newcastle players were thinking, this is great. We're going to, you know, if we beat them, we're going to win a title. Newcastle have never won a title. They beat them 5-0.
To win that league anyway.
Yeah. They beat them 5-0. Yeah. But I suppose in a way, it's almost like Josh Allen beating Mahomes in the regular season.
Hmm.
You know, they had a party after they beat Mahomes and the Chiefs in this regular season. But when it came down to it in the actual playoffs to actually progress, they couldn't do it. Because it's the psychological factor of the fact that you're playing the Chiefs. You're playing this, yeah, you're playing this world-class quarterback and this world-class tight end with this world-class coach. And you just cannot get over that hump. You can beat them in the regular season because they're just jogging.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's not gloating. I feel like I'm coming across as quite arrogant on this. And I probably am. I've been arrogant all week, I must admit. But
that's not like you.
No, it's not like me at all, but it's like I was saying, you know, at the top of the show, it's this greatness element that I just can't, it was like an enlightening moment that I thought, oh my God, this guy, this team, this head coach, this tight end.
Yeah, what's going to be weird is like,
phenomenal.
In like 20 years, 30 years time, like obviously people talk about the Steelers of the 70s, the Cowboys of the 90s, the 49ers of the 80s, the Patriots of the noughties and the 2010s. It's going to be the Chiefs of the 20s. That's what it's going to be. They are going to be up there. They're going to be ranked. This particular set of team, this particular Chiefs team, is going to be ranked amongst the best teams of all time. And they still have so much time to keep adding to their resume as well.
It's unreal. It's really unreal.
Like, this week was a proper like pinch myself moment as a Chiefs fan. Like,
yeah,
the fact that this is our fourth trip to the Super Bowl in 5 years. Fourth. Like, I would have been happy with the first one and that's it. And now here we are at fourth. I'm not even getting like that excited these days. Like, we won on Sunday and I was like, yes, happy and whatnot. Obviously, I was being humble because I was around my Ravens friend's house. But even the morning after, like, oh, how was the game last night? Yeah, it was good. Defense played well. But Lamar Jackson messed up a little bit. Chiefs forced some mistakes. Pat Mahomes didn't make any. Travis Kelce was outworlded. But like a few years ago, make the Super Bowl, I'd be like, oh my God, guys, it was the best game ever. And then I got so drunk. Like, that's what it would be like.
A thing.
But this team, it just ceases to amaze me. Well, in fact, no, that's a lie. This year has amazed me. I can't believe we're there. Anyways,
yeah. Let's take a break. I just wanted to keep that greatness trail going. Yeah. What?
I said, let's take a break. And you just started carrying on talking.
Yeah. Let's take a break. Because I want to talk about greatness afterwards, after the break. So when we come back, we're talking more about the Chiefs' greatness.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi there, welcome back to the Great British Chiefs Show with Brad and Tom. Before the break, we were talking about greatness and this Chiefs offense led by Patrick Mahomes, the great Patrick Mahomes, the great Travis Kelce, and the great Andy Reid. I want to talk now about something I brought up a few weeks ago in actually saying that this is probably or absolutely now the greatest Chiefs defense we've ever had. And I think, after beating the Ravens the way they did, I think that's pretty much nailed on now.
Yeah, we had this discussion and I mentioned the 2016, 2015, that sort of defense.
Yeah.
It was the best that I've seen as a Chiefs fan. I don't think they even compare these days to do what they did on Sunday against that team. Yes, obviously we've talked about Lamar Jackson's flaws in the first half of the show, but the reason why he was flawed is because the defense was just so good.
That was phenomenal, wasn't it?
From the defensive line all the way through to the safeties, they were excellent on Sunday and they have been excellent of late. I want to shout out George Karlaftis because
oh yeah,
for his second year, the progression that he's made from year one to year two has been outstanding. And he just seems to be getting better and better and better. And obviously there is an element that he's helped by the presence of Chris Jones. I don't think that can be understated, but he's still got to win one-on-one. He still has to win one-on-one against his opposite number. And he's doing it consistently. And just to have that extra guy who's not just good, but at this point, very, very good at pass rushing, is making all the world of a difference. And to complement that, these guys on the back end, whether it, like everyone talks, we know about L'Jarius Sneed, we know about Trent McDuffie, but Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, Shamari Connor, Mike Edwards, these guys, Justin Reed, these other guys are just stepping up. And I know we give Brett Veach a lot of stick about the wide receiver problem. Okay. But we have to also give a tremendous amount of credit for what he's done with the defense, which effectively has happened because he traded away Tyreek Hill. Let's be honest. The Tyreek Hill trade has enabled this defense to be rebuilt as in the way it has, especially the defensive backfield. And we just have to give credit to Brett Veach. We have to give credit to Steve Spagnuolo. We have to give credit to Dave Merritt. We have to give credit to Brendan Daly. All the guys, everyone involved in coaching this defense and building this defense, they deserve a tremendous amount of credit. And it's nice to see that they are getting it. Because, yes, I know we opened the show with Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, he's the quarterback. He's going to be the guy that everyone talks about first. But let's not kid ourselves. Without this defense, this team are nowhere near this Super Bowl. And they are the main reason why we are where we are. I would argue even potentially that they don't even make the playoffs if it's not for this defense.
Mm-hmm.
But game after game, this defense have come through. They come through against the Bills when they needed to. And against the Ravens, when the offense couldn't do diddly squat in the second half, this defense just held and held and held. Two turnovers in the red zone. L'Jarius Sneed with the greatest play in Chiefs history defensively.
I was going to ask you about that. Do you think he's the greatest player? It has to be, doesn't it?
Like, it's annoying me how little attention this play is getting nationally and internationally. Like, yes, Zay Flowers fumbled. It goes down as a Zay Flowers fumble. But the play from Sneed is just outrageous. It's so, so good. It's like up there with the tackle in the Rams Super Bowl against Dyson. I can't remember who the player was when he comes reaching out. But he ends up gets held back. It's up there with that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, it needs a nickname, this play.
Mm.
It really needs a nickname. I can't think of anything that rhymes with Sneed to do with punching. I don't know. But you're the nickname. You're the nickname man amongst us, so you can come up with one.
I'll have a think. See what we can find. Nothing, but let you write. Nothing springs.
Give yourself another Emmy.
You're right. No, nothing springs to mind straight away because, do you know what? I think people are still stunned that it actually happened. I think people are still, even when I see that play back now, I always think Zay Flowers is going to make it.
Yeah.
Cool. I always think he's going to make it.
It reminded me of the USAC touchdown against the 49ers. Super Bowl, when he went diving into the end zone and Matthew just was like, nah, I'm not having any of that. but Sneed was like, nah, I'm having this ball. Just crazy.
It was just insane. I mean, when we're talking about the greatness of the Chiefs defense, I'm not going to knock the greats that we've had in the past. I mean, you know, the likes of, you know, Willie Lanier and Emmett Thomas and Buck Buchanan, Curly Colt, Bobby Bell, you know, all those kind of greats back in the day. I mean, I've never had the opportunity to see those guys play, but they're obviously Hall of Famers for a reason. You know, they're exceptional defenses. But to see how this unit of Chiefs players on the defensive side of the ball have come together, and the fact that they all rallied around Spags as well by wearing those In Spags We Trust t-shirts.
Yeah. Which are way too much money, by the way.
Yeah, they're way too much money. But the fact that they rallied around and they didn't have to do that. They didn't have to do that. But they wanted to show the appreciation to Spags that this is what he's built. This is what this defense believes in him, and they believe in the process. They believe in their abilities. He's given them the belief to be Super Bowl winners, you know, at least, well, hopefully Super Bowl champions at the end of this. But that's what we're talking about greatness. This is, you know, great people end up being like great leaders.
Mm.
Spags, Andy Reid, great leaders, and we're so lucky to have them in the same team.
Do you know, I think it's criminal that he's not looking for any head coaching jobs. I know he's had a couple before, and they weren't overly successful. He was obviously with the Rams and the Giants.
Yeah,
that was a few years ago now. He's talking about 5 or 6 years. And I know teams typically like to go for an offensive guy as their head coach. But if you're looking at this defense and you're looking at how much, like you're talking about the T-shirt thing, for example, you're looking at how much they love playing for this guy. Mm. Why isn't a team pulling the trigger on him as a head coach? Like, I'm glad they're not, because I want to keep this band together for as long as possible, including signing Chris Jones and Legarius Sneed this year, finding a way to get them done.
Yeah.
But it does surprise me that Spags isn't getting a look in or even being talked about, rumored for a head coaching gig this year.
I don't know.
I suppose it comes back to the defense just being criminally underrated across the board this entire season, including by me last week, by the way, because I did say the Ravens were going to score 34 points. And that was a fucking stupid take by me. And I hold my hands up. That was an awful, awful take. And I apologize. But it does surprise me that there's no looking for him.
Yeah, well, maybe they have been, but maybe he's been turning them down. Maybe, I don't know, because you haven't heard any rumblings, have you? I mean, you normally hear the rumblings around about playoff time when obviously the season's over with. And you normally hear some rumblings that, you know, some teams are talking to whoever, you know, blah, blah, blah. But never really seems to be Spags. And it might just be that he might just quash it right there and then and go, do you know what? I'm happy where I am. I'm happy winning Super Bowls. I'm happy with this team. And he's got such a young team, a young defense. Well, it's the youngest in the league, isn't it? He's got the youngest defense there, and he's taken them to a Super Bowl. And clearly, he's enjoying himself. I mean, when you see him in interviews and things like that, even after the game, he seemed like a proud dad. That's something that you don't often see from any coach, really. I mean, you see it obviously from Andy Reid. He does seem like a father figure to a lot of these players, but to a defensive coordinator, I mean, to have that interaction and that belief and that proud nature coming across like a father would, that's what you see in Spags. It's so weird. It is very strange to see just how a family element is going on in this team. And the fact that even the offensive side have been rallying around each other. I mean, again, going back over to the offensive side of the ball here, the way they've rallied around MVS and the way that MVS has suddenly become playoff MVS to ice the game the way he did. I mean, how many times have we seen that pass this season and he spilled it, he's dropped it, and everyone's just completely got on his back?
I mean, I don't want all of our regular season takes to be wrong, so I might double down on this one. I still don't think he's worth keeping around. I would like a guy a bit more consistent during the regular season and probably offer a little bit more in the playoffs than just one catch. Okay, albeit a very important catch. But yeah, no, I'll double down on that one, shall we say.
You'll double down on that one, will you? I know we're talking about like we're eking into the offensive side chat and things like that, but it's like I said, I wanted to bring it up about this whole greatness of this team and how we feel about it. I mean, even psychologically for us fans, you know, this is one of those moments where you really did feel proud of the team. You felt that they've managed to really go on the road, completely blow out the water, all of the doubters, completely. I mean, I've never seen such a swing in opinion from the talking heads on TV that have suddenly gone, fair play. Fair play to Mahomes, fair play to Andy Reid, fair play to Travis Kelce. They shouldn't be here, but they are because of their greatness.
That's what this team does.
That's what this team does, isn't it?
This show has been really soppy.
It has been soppy, hasn't it?
I don't know. You obviously didn't tell me the plan for the show beforehand. You've kind of just led with it, and I've just kind of been there to, to go. But I don't know. It's been really, really soppy. This hasn't been, like, it's been great, and I've loved hearing you talk like this, Brad, but I don't know. I feel like you should be crying whilst you're saying this. Like,
mate, I am really emotional about this whole franchise right now. I really am. I am. I just can't help.
You're talking about Spags being a proud dad. You just like, honestly, you're just chewing my ear off. Like, come on, son. Like, be happy for Christ's sake. Celebrate. Have yourself a beer.
Ah, To me, I feel like we've already won the Super Bowl. I really do.
But we haven't. We ain't
I feel like
yet.
We have, though. We're I not... feel like we have.
By the way, did you see Mahomes' dad bod? Like, I am so happy that man has a dad bod.
He makes me feel so much better.
Yeah, so much better.
See, love, see? Look, yeah. He's a prime specimen.
See this man right here? He's the greatest athlete in the world right now, yeah? And look at him.
Look at this. Look.
Yeah. You get to go to bed with someone like that every night.
Do you know the amount of outs he does? Honestly, I thought he'd have been ripped.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not
body shaming it. This is a far from a body shame.
No, definitely not.
I am like celebrating Pat Mahomes' body right now. It's phenomenal.
It is going round a bit, isn't it? But I'm happy about that. But you find that in quarterbacks, don't you? They like to have a bit of soft edges now and again. You just
soft edges. It's a bit round the edges.
A bit of padding, a bit of padding just to make sure that any hits come their way, they just kind of bounces off, Yeah. And like you said, dads everywhere are going to go in. That's the guy. That's the guy that I'm modeling myself on. Never mind these blooming swimwear models who are, Calvin Klein, jacked up men with abs and pecs and stuff like that. You don't need that. What you need is a soon to be 4-time Super Bowl champion.
Yeah. You need that. That's a specimen right there.
Oh, three-time Super Bowl champion. Sorry, I got it wrong then.
Could be 4-time. But
it could be 4-time. Could be 4-time.
No, I'm seeing the shirtless Mahomes pictures from the locker room. All about that dad bod. All about it.
Well, while we're talking about Mahomes, I've been, honestly, mate, I've been so much on Chiefs content this week. Can you tell? I've so much been on Chiefs. I mean, I'm sat here wearing all my Chiefs gear as well. And I'm just like, I'm dripping in the stuff.
I bet you're Mrs. Lossie right this week.
It's funny, she woke up and she went, "So they're in the Super Bowl then?" I was like, yeah. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're in. Back in again. I've been so giddy all week. But yeah, just going off what I was going to say, I've been soaking up a lot of the content that's been going on. And Rich Eisen pointed out this in his show, that Mahomes is the only player to reach 4 Super Bowls before the age of 30. The only player to reach 4 Super Bowls before the age of 30. Apparently Brady reached 3 by the age of 28.
Yeah.
Okay, he won 3 Super Bowls by then, but Mahomes could actually win a third Super Bowl on this.
31 when he lost to the Giants, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, but Brady didn't have 2 MVP seasons in his locker. Mahomes has actually won more season wins, 74 versus 58, more playoff wins, 14 versus 10, at 28 years old than what Brady had.
Yeah. It's the longevity with Brady, isn't it?
But that's the thing. But this is why I like this stat, because you're looking at the age of Mahomes right now, the age of 28 and what the age of 28, Brady was. And if Mahomes wins his third Super Bowl here, he literally drowns out what was accomplished at 28 for Brady.
Yeah, but I get that. And I get the GOAT debate, but the problem is that Brady's done it. He's bagged the accomplishments.
Yeah.
He's got the 7 Super Bowl rings. He's there. Mahomes has to get there. The problem.
And but when you look at the stats...
He started off amazingly. He's off to the greatest start of any player in NFL history. There's no doubt about that. Like, that's him. That's done. That's in the bag. The first 5 years of starting, brilliant. But he still has it all to do to get to that status. I don't think he needs to get to 7 to become the GOAT.
No.
I think he can get to 5 and become the GOAT. Because there's still the conversation. People talk about Montana versus Brady. And Montana's only on 4.
Okay? Montana never lost the Super Bowl either. So
yeah, true. I think Mahomes can get there with 5. But he's still got to get there. He's still got to beat the 49ers. He's still got to get to 2 more. And nothing's a given in this league. Yes, I expect them to get back to a 1 or 2 more Super Bowls, at least with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. But it's not a given that they're going to win those particular games. So, yes, it would be great for him to be in the GOAT debate in a few years' time. He's probably the most talented quarterback we've ever seen. So in terms of that, he's probably the GOAT. But in terms of accomplishments, he still has so far to go to catch Brady. That, like, Brady's accomplishments are just out of this world. No one would argue in terms of talent, like for like, Mahomes is more talented than Brady, but it goes a lot further than just talent. It's the mindset, it's the work rate, it's being locked in for that amount of time, the longevity. That's what makes Brady the GOAT. And that's where Mahomes needs to get to. Obviously, we feel like he has all the tools to get to there, but where will he be in 5 or 6 years' time? We don't know. And that's what makes this period of Chiefs football so exciting, because it does feel like they are dynasty chasing plus legacy chasing at the same time, which can only mean a good thing for us, because it means that hopefully more conversations like this will be happening year on, year in, year out between us two.
The only thing that worries me is a little bit is there was a gap where Brady didn't get to any of them.
Yeah.
And that worries me. That, you know, I don't want history repeating in a way. I want Mahomes to keep on going. I want him to keep on going, because
especially with Reed, because obviously Belichick was a lot younger.
Exactly.
And Reed's obviously not too old, but he's probably limited by the amount of years that he's got left. So yeah, you do want to maximize this period of Reed and Mahomes, that is for sure.
Exactly. We haven't given Kelsey too much props at the minute. Kelsey, I've just got to say, the players that he made in that game, his level of football IQ is, I mean, it's off the chart, isn't it? Yeah. His greatness is unmatched. Again, that's not a knock on other tight ends that have been around. Tony Gonzalez was obviously one of those, rewrote the book on tight ends and everything. But Tony G didn't have Mahomes and Reed. Kelsey has, and he's really used it to his own ability there. I mean, that play that he made where he dived for it, you know, when Mahomes got a late, he hit late and everything like that, and he was scrambling around the pocket and then he dived for it. I mean, that was just like, it made me jump out of my seat. And there's not many players that do that, but there was a couple of them in this game
where
I was like, oh my God, how the hell? And the Kelsey one was amazing, but to have what, 11 receptions, 11 attempts, and 11 receptions to Kelsey, how he just took that offense on his own chin and just went with it. It was unreal. Another greatness conversation, GOAT conversation.
Jerry Rice thing just amazes me. Like last week we had the combination thing, but the whole being ahead of Jerry Rice in playoff receptions now is just ludicrous. Like, that there's something to probably sit for a very, very, very long time now. Jerry Rice's record was there for 20-odd years, 20-30 years. And now Kelsey will, and also get an opportunity to add plenty of receptions to that as well, you'd hope, in the next 2 years or 3 years, hopefully. So yeah, just ridiculous what that guy done. And 11 targets, 11 receptions, a touchdown, laughing in Carl Van Noy's face. Like, just love it. Like, What a guy. The ultimate playoff competitor. I love him.
And he's only 3 touchdowns behind Rice in the playoffs.
Big ask to do this year, but yeah.
Well, you never know. It might happen in the Super Bowl. You never know. Right then, mate. I think we've talked too much about greatness right now. I mean, we've got a preview to come up next week, and I don't know how the hell we're going to get through that without talking about more greatness. But hopefully, with our 100th show, we might have a guest or two on. We don't know yet. We're just still trying to work things in the background, but we hopefully might have a guest on. We'll see if we can make it work. But I'm not going to drop any hints yet. Because there's a few irons in the fire. So hopefully one of them will get hot, hopefully. But anyway, that's all we've got time for this week. We'll be back again next week to preview the Chiefs' 4th appearance in a Super Bowl in 5 seasons. Hopefully winning the 4th Lombardi. And like I said, we might have a special guest on which might discuss how the Chiefs can achieve that. But all I have to say here is, from one kingdom to another, we'll speak to you again soon.
Hey there, it's Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride, and I'm excited to announce a new element of the Arrowhead Pride experience for diehard Chiefs fans. It's our brand new newsletter, Arrowhead Pride Premier. Arrowhead Pride Premier is a newsletter delivered to your inbox twice a week from me. For $50, you'll get an annual subscription packed with insider coverage from yours truly and new in-depth analysis from voices around Kansas City. It's all about what I'm seeing and hearing around the team. During the season, we'll deliver a newsletter ahead of each game to get ready for Sunday, and a newsletter after each game to unpack exactly what happened. Subscribe to Arrowhead Pride Premier today at arrowheadpride.com/subscribe.
more to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.